Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Shahaira.
And this is Stephanie, and welcome back to another episode of Cuento Crimen Podcast.
Ojalá que todos estén teniendo un excelente día.
Mm-hmm. Happy March.
We start a new month. It is now March. Getting closer
to giving birth.
Giving birth to having that second baby. Mm-hmm. If I'm out of breath, y'all know why. But yeah, it's exciting. And hopefully it's an exciting spring for everyone and not just me.
But again, no worries. We will have episodes for all of y'all every single Wednesday.
Like, y'all won't even know when I'm gone.
Yeah, exactly. Watch, it's going to be like on a random Wednesday, you're going to be like, I'm back. And people are going to be like, oh my God, you've been gone. And that's on pre-planning.
Yeah. And Stephanie did most of the pre-planning this time around. So yeah. Shout out to her.
It kind of worked in my favor as well. Uh-huh. Because your maternity leave will be my final months of grad school.
So it's like we both had a baby.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, pre-planning always helps. Like, yeah. If you pre-plan your life, like, I feel like you live a much more relaxed life. Just saying.
Future us will be very happy.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, shout out to Berlin, because she's always like, I knew my future self would be happy. So yeah.
Yeah, Berlin is a family and just friend/rent, right?
I guess me and her aren't family, but she's like family now.
Berlin and Jahaira work together.
Yeah.
And she is my sister-in-law's sister.
And she's also our photographer.
Yes. So
holla at her at Berlin Snaps.
Ooh. Okay. So, but yeah. Anyways, we are here for true crime. El caso de hoy, vamos a hablar de una jovencita que lo hacía todo. Deportes, iba a la iglesia y también estudiaba en la universidad. Era muy activa y también tenía dos trabajos. So, lo hacía todo.
She was a go-getter, mm-hmm. Ambitious young woman. Pero bueno, antes de empezar, we would like to give you all a heads up because we will be talking about sensitive topics. Les queremos dar una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles.
Y también queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y víctimas. Okay, let's begin.
So Taylor Robinson was born in the month of January 1994 in Arcon, Ohio. And, you know, she was living in the city. She was a smart 19-year-old woman. Tenía un buen corazón. She was goal-oriented, very focused young lady with a well-rounded background. También leímos que ella jugaba varios deportes. And también le gustaba hacer volunteer work, which is awesome.
Some other cool facts about her was that her favorite color was purple y le encantaba los animales.
And she was also the type of person that just cared for those in need. She cared about mentally challenged people. And one of her ultimate goals was actually that she wanted to be a neonatal nurse. She had a strong interest in taking care of children and adults with physical and mental disabilities. Y honestamente, like, that is something that is not for everyone.
Yes, I agree. She had very specific goals, mm-hmm. and she was working towards them. Like, she was actively working towards them. She was very busy. She was a church member. También era una estudiante del colegio. Y she had recently started attending Kent State University. Y también tenía dos trabajos.
And I thought I had a lot on my plate.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to her. El tercero de mayo del 2013, Taylor was focused on spending most of her time studying for her nursing classes. And all I'm saying is, if I were taking organic chemistry, I would probably be spending most of my time studying for that, mm-hmm. as well. I suffered the stress through our friends. Remember, Steph?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what specific classes Taylor was taking, but I do remember in college, one of our friends was taking organic chemistry, and it was like,
immediately no.
Yes, immediately no. Just a very difficult class, very difficult subject for some people. So it makes sense why she was spending most of her time studying.
Mm-hmm. So, como dijo Stephanie earlier, ella estaba estudiando at Kent State University y su mamá, Carmela Rucker, la recogió un poquito antes de las 10 de la noche para darle un ride to her overnight job as a home health aide for a disabled young woman, quien también vivía allí en la misma ciudad de Akron, Ohio.
The young woman was restricted to her bed and was nonverbal, so she needed a home aide while her mom went to work.
So Taylor, you know, was studying, getting a ride from her mom, and everything was normal. Like, todo seemed like it was part of the routine, mm-hmm. and she was just going about her day. There was nothing weird or nothing that stood out about this at all.
Entonces, ese día, el 3 de mayo del año 2013, Carmela, su mamá, dropped Taylor off at the house that she took care of the young lady, and they said their goodbyes and their I love yous, mm-hmm. and they both went their way. Carmela dropped her daughter off, and Taylor walked towards the front of the house.
Taylor made it to her job, and that meant that her client's mom, Valerie Longmire, headed out to her overnight job, and pues ahí dejó a Taylor en la casa para que cuidara de su hija, who couldn't really be left alone.
Entonces, when Valerie returned home from her overnight job the next day, which at that point it was 7 a.m., ella esperaba a ver a Taylor. So they would kind of, I guess, give each other updates and, mm-hmm. you know, Valerie would make it home and Taylor would go about her way. But this wasn't the case. Valerie was surprised a encontrar su hija sola. Taylor was nowhere to be seen. No había ninguna nota de Taylor. No había ningún mensaje, ninguna llamada de por qué Taylor no estaba ahí.
Valerie said también que there was no forced entry. Todas las puertas tenían el seguro. And there was one person who possibly knew what was going on, y esa era su hija, pero desafortunadamente su hija was nonverbal, so she wasn't able to say if she saw anything or poder explicarles de quizás dónde estaba Taylor.
15 minutos después, at 7:15 a.m., Carmela, la mamá de Taylor, llega ahí a la casa a recoger a su hija. Y ella también llegó y se sorprendió que su hija no estaba ahí because, you know, she expected her to be there like mm-hmm. any other day that she worked. Y Carmela was so surprised and shocked to find that, you know, her daughter Taylor would leave her client alone in the middle of her shift without any explanation.
I mean, obviously, like, nosotros no conocemos a Taylor personally, mm-hmm. but the way she was described, I don't think she would leave in mm-hmm. the middle of her job either. And especially if a job, like, as important as this.
That is tied to, you know, her long-term goals of becoming a neonatal nurse.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so everyone agreed that this was unlike her, leaving her client alone without notifying anyone or getting a backup. Like, yeah, that's definitely not something that Taylor would do. Como dijo Steph, you know, she was a nursing student. Like, this was her future career. She took pride in her work. And aside from that, like, a ella le gustaba el trabajo que ella hacía. Like, I feel like she would have also cared enough and thought about leaving her client alone, mm-hmm. you know?
Who needs her aid.
Who needs her help.
Yeah.
So this was definitely an automatic red flag from the start.
Mm-hmm. So from the very beginning, all they really knew was that she left some of her stuff at her job. Dejó sus zapatos, her coat.
And right away, Carmela le llama a su hija, pero desafortunadamente la llamada goes straight to voicemail. And I feel like that's one of the worst things that mm-hmm. could happen. Like, I feel like I would get so much anxiety, like not knowing where my daughter is, and now it's going straight mm-hmm. to voicemail.
Yeah, it's like one thing after the other, the red flags of her leaving her job and then not answering her phone.
Yeah.
It's like getting serious.
Something's up, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Carmela went home in hopes to maybe find her daughter there. But no, she was not there. And so ella empezó a llamarle a todos los conocidos que conocían a Taylor to see if they knew anything, si sabían, you know, quizás a dónde fue, mm-hmm. Just literally any hint.
And it started to become even more real when Taylor didn't show up to her shift at her second job, which was at a clothing store.
Carmela was scared y inmediatamente le llamó al departamento de policía de Arcon and she reported Taylor missing.
And the whole family quickly passed out flyers and they conducted searches, but they weren't getting any hints of where Taylor was.
La familia de Taylor decía que Taylor was not a runaway, that that was out of the picture. And authorities also agreed with them because Taylor had a whole background of being a focused young lady that never had any history of running away.
Yeah, I feel like she had too much going on for her, you mm-hmm. know?
She was on track and, like, you know, she had that personality.
So authorities looked at the house of the client, but at the end of the day, they found nothing there that could lead them anywhere. And as we said earlier, like, there was no forced entry. There was really no signs of someone, like, foul play, I guess you can say.
And so the next step was that the authorities looked into her phone records. Y cuando revisaron eso, encontraron que Taylor estaba en contacto con un número en específico. Y cuando se fijaron de quién era, averiguaron que ese número era de su exnovio. And they specifically found that they had been in contact twice before 10 p.m. that night that she disappeared.
And they also found that later at around 5:30 a.m., un mensaje fue mandado a un amigo de Taylor y ella le estaba preguntando por un favor. And she didn't really elaborate on what the favor was, but after that, the phone was turned off at around 7 a.m. Y cuando van con el ex-boyfriend de Taylor, they find out that he is lawyered up and he is refusing to cooperate. He has not been named in any of the articles I came across, which is why, you know, we've been referring to him as the ex-boyfriend. But he also has not been named a person of interest.
And so to kind of backtrack a little bit, so Taylor gets dropped off at work. And then a little bit before 10 p.m., she is messaging her ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And then later at 5:30 a.m., she's messaging her friend for a favor. And then at 7 a.m.,
The phone's off.
And then that's when Valerie comes home and then Carmela, su mamá, llega. And so during this time of the investigation, la familia está haciendo todo lo posible para agarrarle atención a este caso. They started a Facebook page, estaban poniendo posters por toda la ciudad y empezaron búsquedas también.
Y el 6 de mayo, the FBI joined the search, and this was amazing because there's new sets of eyes, it's just like a fresh point of view, there was new resources, pero desafortunadamente no había ninguna big leads that were coming out of these new searches.
Y por esta razón que no habían pistas en este caso, a private investigator joined the search, and they joined just for the cost of $1. And this was Tim Dimoff. And this is a private investigator who volunteered to help out. And this private investigator piensa que la persona conectada a esta desaparición es alguien que Taylor conoce. And this might be someone that she had a conflict with, but also was comfortable around.
And that makes sense because if there was no sign of forced entry, that means that maybe she let this person in. And then from there, who knows what happens. Pero él dice también that he has strong suspects in mind and that he is focused on gathering evidence to push this case forward. And that is what we love to hear.
Something that we read and that we wanted to include was that Carmela said that her biggest support system in the searches and everything revolving this case was everyone around her. And we have a quote. My parents cry with me. My family cries with me. When I hurt, they hurt. I appreciate their support, end quote.
Siento que el apoyo de la familia es one of the most, reassuring thing you can have, like just the comfort.
Yeah, like they hold you up.
Yeah, dan el ánimo.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really sweet that, like, you know, like she cries, her family cries, like that, like shows how much they care for each other.
Yeah. And so a few months later, in September 2013, la familia recibió noticias that gave them closure, but not the kind que ellos querían escuchar. Two hikers at Cuyahoga Valley National Park in Brecksville came across something that made them call people who could help. Ellos no estaban muy segura de qué es lo que estaban viendo. Nomás sabían que it was probably something that shouldn't be there, and so they called it in. Porque también pensaron que era mejor asegurarse que todo estaba bien.
What they saw was a jawbone and part of a skull in a picnic area. And so they wanted to call and make sure that what they were seeing was real. Mm-hmm. And they wanted someone to confirm that. Entonces, they reported this to the National Park Service Rangers.
The FBI evidence response team stopped in and looked in the woods, and they found more remains, which were all identified as Taylor Robinson after doing some dental records. But the medical examiners were not able to determine a cause of death.
The private investigator has two suspects in mind, but the authorities have never confirmed this as well.
Carmilla Robinson spoke out with her husband, which was Taylor's stepfather, Jeff Rucker, and she thanked the couple for reporting what they found, porque pues últimamente ayudaron a Taylor regresar a casa, or like, you know, it finally gave them the answers that they were looking for, even if they weren't the answers they wanted.
Mm-hmm. And so now, every year on Taylor's birthday, they release purple balloons in her honor.
I feel like little acts like that is what keeps you close to them.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of keeps that, like you still have something of them.
Mm-hmm.
Carmilla says that she just wants justice for her daughter. Ella quiere saber quién asesinó a su hija. And I feel like she has every right to know. Like, this person ripped her daughter out of her life. And in 2010, she actually got a kidney transplant, but in 2014, the organ failed. And she believes that it's because of, you know, all the stress that she's been under with this whole case and just, you know, just everything of what happened to her daughter. Like, it's not something easy to process.
Mm-hmm.
It's life-changing. Y como decimos, like, estos casos go beyond being true crime. Like, these are real life cases
that affect people and families.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I totally believe that, like, it can affect your health, your well-being, and you know, Taylor deserves answers. Her family deserves to find out what happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
And put the person responsible for this behind bars.
Yeah.
And there is a reward for $10,000 for anyone with information about this case.
Anyone with information can call the Akron Police Detective Burr at 330-375-2490. Or you can also call Summit County Crime Stoppers at 330-434-2677.
Cualquier persona que tenga información puede llamar a la oficina de detectives de la policía de Akron al número 330-375-2490. O también puede llamar a Crime Stoppers del condado de Summit al número 330-434-2677.
And as always, we always encourage you all to, you know, share this case. Quizás alguien que esté escuchando tenga información que le pueda ayudar a la familia de Taylor. It's still an open case. You know, the person responsible is still out there. So it's important that we share. A simple share can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for everyone tuning in every Wednesday. We appreciate every listener so much. And just want to remind you that the way that you can help us grow is to either leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts, which, by the way, I think we have more listeners on Apple Podcasts than any other platform.
That's
so
interesting.
I know you're listening. Please, please, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or a rating on Spotify.
We appreciate you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode, and we'll see y'all next week.